order. Could you please call the roll, Trenise?
Committee Chair Moore.
Here.
Director Cradle.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Chair Wolf.
Kendra Loper.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum, so we are ready to go. This is technically the first formal meeting of this committee. However, we did have a short meeting a couple of months ago just to organize, and a set of minutes were circulated, and if you're comfortable with them, they're obviously very short. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
So moved.
Moved by Towns.
Second.
Second by Cradle. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. Okay. What we want to do then is today we have kind of an ambitious agenda, and actually if at some point we're going to run too long, we can bump stuff to a subsequent meeting. But at our first meeting, we had a list of ideas of things we should be looking at over the next year from Shauna. So what we'd like to do is have her take a few minutes and walk us through what we're calling areas of focus that we will probably deal with over the next 12 months. And we've tried to break this down into a 3-month, 6-month, and a 12-month period so that we don't take on too much, and yet we have room to do things that might come up. So, Shauna?
And as I walk us through it, please don't hesitate to ask questions or give comments along the way. The first few slides kind of have to do with the reminder of where we were when we were still a working group and kind of where we've come since then. So this first one has to do with electronic tolling technology, because I know there has been a lot of focus on that over the past few years. When we were last together, we had agreed to halt the bid for the new maintenance vendor for the existing system. There had been talk, I think a couple of years ago, about wanting to replace ETC as the vendor that maintains our existing system. And there had been a basic RFP put together for that, but...
Let's stop a second.
Yes.
We're not in sync.
We're not? Page 2. No, I think you have to move the one on your screen.
Pardon?
Are you on page 2 on your screen?
Potential areas of focus for change planning committee. You okay?
You're on the one committee.
There we go. There we go.
The only reason I know is I just say thank you.
All right. Well, other than that, we're doing a great job, Bill. So much for technology. Now you're on the right committee, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Prater and I were doing very well in the last committee.
Yeah, great.
Perfect.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay,
no,
go back.
No, not
to that.
At all.
We're lost and we have been found.
When we had taken a close look at the system, and we had realized, and the CGN audit has since, you know, confirmed our assessment of it, and then the CGN assessment a few months ago that we went over, confirmed that the existing system is not enough to support our continued growth from a volume perspective or even a flexibility perspective and things that we want to do with customer service. We decided that rather than spending the effort to bring a different vendor in to tinker around with the same system that wasn't going to support us, we would look further in the future and start talking about a new system. And when we had last met, we were commencing an effort to evaluate the new kind of a replacement system for this back office piece that handles IPAS, handles violations, that handles our relationship with IAG, all that reciprocity. And we had agreed to continue improving our existing system only for key efforts, rather than trying to tinker with it constantly, day in and day out. Focus on the key things that we wanted to do with it in the interim. So where we stand today is on the right side of this slide, where we have established that replacement timeline, which I do have as an appendix in the back if we wanted to go over it. We have developed the RFI, which is different than an RFP. An RFI is an opportunity for us to connect with vendors of all types related to electronic tolling and have them tell us a little bit about the products they offer so that we get a chance to learn about the industry rather than just jump straight into a system procurement.
And this is a nice thing for us to be able to do, particularly with some of the elements of the procurement reform that, you know, sometimes are, might present some challenges to, you know, having kind of exploratory conversations with you know, providers of new technologies. It's a very open, transparent, public process. Anybody can come to the table with their, you know, ideas, their products, and, you know, talk about how their, you know, solution or proposal is strong or not, and what the benefits might be. So it's a good learning.
How many do we anticipate might respond?
I actually have a feeling it will be about 30.
Oh, good, okay.
I think it will be of all types. You know, there will be the...
Because it's totally open. It's give us your
it
ideas.
It is. Okay. Although we've structured it so that they have to categorize what kind of solution they're interested in talking to us about, and then we'll schedule the meetings with them around those categories. Mm-hmm.
Because it's fair to say there are different components, and you might have 30 companies, but not necessarily all 30 could do everything. They might be able to do some component part.
Right. So we'll have several from the back, from a back office perspective, but we'll also have camera vendors. You know, people who... vendors who provide cameras to other tollways, and ones that are probably a lot more modern than what we use now, things like that. So we'll keep everybody updated, and the meeting, of course, the people are welcome to join our meetings with the vendors because they're discussions about their solutions.
Well, earlier today in the Finance Committee, we agreed to purchase some cameras from, was it Delaware?
West Virginia.
And what's happening is the cameras that we have are basically obsolete, so we're just trying to fill in. So this is to kind of get the full smorgasbord of what might be out there for the next 10 years or so.
Right. Okay. We've also commenced development of the functional and technical requirements for the new back office piece. So we have a team from HNTB working with us to do this in a very methodical way using system selection methodology. And this is pretty exciting because in a technical environment like the tolling industry, which is so so young, kind of immature, I would even call it, that using a system selection methodology where we carefully document what we need a system to do and then very methodically require all the different vendors to respond to it, at, you know, telling us if they can do it right away, if they'd have to do a little development, just so it's eyes wide open in a way we didn't necessarily get last time around. I think it's going to be a really beneficial process. Then existing system improvements, we've continued. Kind of the high gain one, the online violation images, which we all talked about, I believe the last time in April, because it launched in, at the very end of March. And there are some statistics about this later on in this document. But it continues to be something that people can access and that they do access. The 90-day rule we talked about, and we'll talk about again later in this document, but that is something, that is another programming effort that is about to conclude. And the credit card updater is one where we think we actually stand to save close to a couple hundred thousand dollars a year just by having our system automatically update expiring debt credit cards, rather than letting them expire, letting the account go negative, letting somebody figure that out later, and then update.
Well, beyond saving money, that's one of the areas we get a lot of complaints because people actually don't realize that even though they have the same credit card they had the year before, when the dates changed, that we got lost in the system.
Right. That's correct.
So they end up getting a ticket, and then they're all uptight when, in fact, you know, this is something you start working on a couple months ago, that we can just... when your credit card expires in April of 13, then it would just roll over, and we know that happens.
Yeah. And this is in partnership with the credit card companies.
It is.
If they allow for it to happen, then we can do it.
It's MasterCard and Visa. American Express already does it. Discover Card does it for, I think, 97% of their customers, mm-hmm. one they directly issue versus go through another bank.
The reason I'm raising it, though, is just so that they're, to the extent we hear complaints about this in the future, it might be that very small percentage that, you know, don't fall into one of these categories. So, but I think we're, you know, we're certainly a lot better off than we were. So.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, I think it'll be a great thing, and we expect to go live with that at the end of October. And the credit card companies requested that we do it on that time frame because it's right before the holiday season starts, and apparently the credit card companies get so busy starting at the beginning of November that they don't anticipate having the bandwidth to work with us through that time period, so end of October. I think we should move to the next slide, which is the customer service contract. When we had last met, we had talked about our existing customer service contract, which has four components, all of which roll up to TransCore and have for the past 5 years. the image review contract, where we look at the pictures of license plates taken of violators, the transponder fulfillment contract, where when people call in and need a new transponder or a replacement transponder, they are able to have one mailed to them. The print and mail contract, where when we have our notices and then some of our pieces of correspondence, we send files of all these documents on a daily basis to a vendor that prints, folds, stuffs the envelope, stamps it, and mails it for us. And then the call center. So just an update on where we stand today is on the right-hand side. The image review contract was awarded to a state youth vendor, Bridgeway Training Services, this last December. And they got up and running in January, and things have been going quite well since.
Yeah, and Director Towns, you actually checked in on that.
Yes, I did, and they're very, very pleased.
And it seems to be working
yes,
well.
It
and
yes, it is. They've not hired any minority people yet, but they're looking at them.
Well, tell them to get with the program.
So they've got some sources now. I get some sources.
Good. Okay.
The print and mail contract was approved for a state youth vendor just this last month. The Printer's Mark, which is a subsidiary of Transition Mental Health Services. So that will commence in January.
That's also kind of a not-for-profit. It's the same format we've used.
Right. State youth is a statewide procurement program that allows for kind of the partnership between state organizations and not-for-profits that provide social return largely around the employment of disadvantaged workforces. The transponder fulfillment contract was approved just last month with state youth vendor Ada S. McKinley Community Services on the south side of Chicago, and that will start on the 1st of January. And that contract will be a little bit larger in scope than what we do now, because what we do now with the transponder replacements is we do all of those license plate truck transponder replacements ourselves here in-house, but with the growth of the replacements needed, that's not going to continue to be possible, so Ada McKinley will be helping us with those and doing it proactively. And then the call center contract is in progress.
And I assume Ada McKinley is a high percentage minority.
Yes. Yes. And we actually are starting the transition discussions with both of them in the next several weeks. We have meetings to start setting up the transition plans and starting the training process and everything else.
Where's Transitions located?
Printer's Mark? Rock
yeah,
Island.
Printer's Mark.
Rock Island. The interesting thing about a print vendor, though, is that they're not like we will interact with them in person very much. So they are a little bit far away.
No, but that's...
We just send in our files.
We're not that far from Rock Island. They just forgot to put the last stretch of the toll road. And then the call center, that process is underway?
It is. It is.
And we're going to, again, try to work with some not-for-profits?
We are trying to work with the not-for-profit. I mean, we still need to work out the details. As you recall, as we went into this, we wanted to make sure that the level of service, that we could continue to expect the same high level of service or better, cost, obviously, all of those things. So we're still working out some of those details to make sure that, you know, in all of those areas, that relationship would be acceptable to
that's
us.
Yeah. But it's a good, A, it brings jobs back into the state, and B, it's an area where we need to find people employment. So it's a great model if we can keep it working.
Well, let's try to go to the next slide then.
And I would just like to recognize Shauna and her team, because this is no small task to break up what has been kind of a one-stop shop provider and then find and develop, you know, these relationships and think about transition plans. You know, this makes it, you know, at least in the near term, it's maybe more challenging for the staff and the workload. I think there are long-term benefits, but, you know, it is something that they've worked really hard on. So thank you for that.
Team. On page 4, we have a few other items that we had talked about when we were in working group and a few updates. Transponder replacements, as you recall, our transponder batteries typically expire around 8 years and we need to replace them. So this is kind of we had done a pilot effort last year and then we started in earnest. So in 2011, we expect to have made about 300,000 transponder replacements. 85% of them are at Jewel Osco, which is great because that's kind of a limited staffing impact for us.
And we do have a 92% response rate. Next year, it spikes a little, and we go to 550,000. And then the following year, it really spikes up to 1.2 million. Which is, you know, that's a lot to absorb. So we're working our way up to it. We continue to refine little bits and pieces of the program as we get feedback. We got some feedback, I think some of you know, on the letters for the transponder replacement. So we made some language changes to that. But it's, in by and large, been a very positive experience, and people are getting the new transponders. Address correction.
Well, let me get Christy now. Our consortium of 20 total tolling agencies, where you're our representative, they're in the process of picking a new transponder, so that shouldn't be
a
problem.
Well, they're done with that.
Okay, but I mean, that'll this should all fit.
Yeah, there's not going to be a need. There's not a need for everybody to, just because, well, the provider's actually the same company,
provider,
but even if it wouldn't have been, there wouldn't have been a need to switch out all the transponders
The people that are getting ones now will be fine for the next 7 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did and will have even better cost, you know, of purchasing transponders under the new agreement.
Right, but we're not replacing them and then going to call them back in within a year or two.
No, people will be able to keep these that go out now for, you know, the lifespan of the anticipated lifespan of the transponder.
I know you guys are really good on public education, but if you're going into this big spike, I wonder if it makes sense to try to seed some stories about how well the first X hundred thousand went, because it is rather remarkable when you think, I can't think of anything else where you get a public 92% positive response rate. And just that alone should make for a good story, but then it'll signal to the other people who are going to get these.
Well, numbers. Because we did have, in fact, the media was very helpful when we first did this about a year ago, because they were covering the story. I think the first was in the south suburbs, southwest side or something like that, so that there was a lot of attention called to it, so we didn't get as many calls as we feared. But at first, we were only getting about 80%, so really the adjustments that have been made getting it to 92 are really helpful.
I think that, and, you know, this will be a prime candidate. As you know, we're trying to use the free advertising spots and other marketing opportunities that are available to us, and we're trying to, you know, align those more with some of our business needs. So I think this is a prime candidate for that next year, as we go into the next year of our using that, you know, advertising and some of that, you know, free publicity.
Right.
Also.
Well, plus,
you know,
the letter change was critical, because it basically said your transponder will be turned off. Uh-huh. Now, I mean, we're making it clear that in another 90 days or whatever it is, your transponder will not work. So people got a little more focused. The project, because the Jewel Osco and then in Rockford, we put in some locations as well, has been helpful too, because it's much more convenient. They don't have to come here. So we need to keep, I mean, it's been good. It was maybe two or three adjustments made early on, but it's working well. But we do need to remind people that, are these going to be geographical too, or now is it kind of system-wide?
It always has.
Oh, okay, so
this
we just had test
based
just
on the age of the
in the one area. Okay.
Which I suppose you can say that the out-of-state group will grow over time, because presumably they were the later adopters of the transponders. But that's kind of gut instinct more than
That's good. Yeah, we need to, and that's a good idea if we can tie it in with some signage and some other stuff.
One thing also that we're doing, even though we do have a 92% response rate, which is fabulous, we have identified thus far 700 active accounts that are actively being used where they have never responded, so their transponder has been suspended. So in both cases, we're vetoing them. Right. Mm-hmm. So now we're desperately trying to hunt them down with proactive phone calls and everything.
Is that the big
else.
Nets you have on top of the overpass?
Yeah, so we're going to actually be doing very proactive outreach to these 700 starting, I think, next week.
So they'll be told clearly that your transponder's at this point dead.
What can we do to swap this out for you?
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's good. That's great.
The address corrections, that started last August. It has continued. We average about 4,300 per month. And we anticipate a savings of $40,000 just in this year so far, $40,000. And that $40,000 is basically what our cost avoidance from when a forwarded address gets kicked back to us from the post office, and then we have to send everything out again.
Because we're using a national database now to try to get the address before it goes out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Good.
Online violation images continues to be very positive. Since we launched it at the end of March, a little over about 44,500 images have been reviewed. There's one image per violation, so that's why you see violations there in parentheses. There are about 11,000 unique parties involved in these viewings. And of the 44,500 images, about 4% were disputed overall, and only 2% of those ultimately led to a dismissal of the violation. So when you consider the fact, I quickly calculated before I came up here, that we, in the same time frame, we've had about 30 million images. I mean, that's
wow.
Our accuracy rate is pretty good, and we have this really great safety net for the few times that it's not.
So what happens is a person can now sit at their home computer
and verify
and
that it's them.
Go in and look and actually see the physical image, which is the
yes.
new program. This is
per
the thing that Senator Schaumburg was pushing when he asked us about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty marvelous to see how people are using it. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
And that's, again, when as we do our... I think we put something now in the mailing when people get a notice. It says how they can go online to look at it. So roughly, that's like 4 violations per notice if you do the math here. So it's not 44,000 different people. It's only 11,000 users.
11,000 people.
You have to have 3 violations in 2 years to even get a notice.
Correct.
Okay, that's good.
Then
and just for the other two committees, these are things that we did last year in our other committee, and I just wanted to make sure that we put a period at the end of the sentence that they are
sure.
in place and are working.
So, yeah, it's been a very successful program. We're very pleased. The 90-day rule, we had agreed at the end of June as a board to implement it going forward, and we anticipate full implementation by late October. We are trying very hard to get through the PCI compliance aspect first. You know, PCI compliance is...
What is PCI?
That's the credit card processing organization, PCI, and I can't...
But I mean, that's
we had a presentation on it a couple months
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
We have to be in compliance because we have credit card numbers
right.
and there's
okay.
a, you know,
privacy
some technology fixes. Privacy compliance.
There you are,
yeah. Okay.
Thank you. But that has required some system changes, so we just want to make sure that's stable.
And the 90-day rule is that you will try to get a violation out within 90 days?
Yes.
And more than just try.
It's more than try.
No, but in
we
the
will.
Past it was we were missing that. Now,
right.
if we don't meet it, we've created a disincentive on our end, correct?
If we go to the slide 22, this actually might...
In the appendix.
In the appendix. Slide 22. This might actually be useful to just quickly
okay.
revisit
yeah.
the group to remind ourselves.
This is the process that we go through. So now we try to get through this process and get a notice out the door within 90 days of the trigger incident.
The third violation in 2
right.
years.
So starting from the left, you have a violation.
I don't know if we need to.
Oh, we'd not walk through the whole thing.
My sense is that we don't necessarily.
Well, it's a cute little car, though.
But we all remember it because it was so cute.
But that's the
90 days. But historically, we've been way on the other side of the 90 days is what we're trying to. The point is that one of the complaints that I've been getting and others have gotten is that somebody gets their third violation and they don't even get the notice for 100 days, 120, 200 days. So we're trying to back that up so that it's as quick as we can physically do it, and at the same time, it's reasonable within what we have to do on our end.
And we've been getting faster and faster over this past year. So, anyway.
And that's working now, once we get this other issue resolved.
Yeah, we're going to get PCI stabilized in the system, and then we'll do this.
Good.
About ready to go. Then, these next couple of slides had to do with questions that had come up beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and so this is, and I know it's a tiny print, but I just wanted everybody to see this on our website, how you manage an IPAS account when you don't have a credit card. You have various options. The primary option that is used is the gift card, which comes in $20 increments that you can buy at any Jewel Osco, and then use that by calling in or getting online to replenish your account. You can also send in a check. If you can actually mail in a check and we'll replenish your account that way. So this is the FAQ in our website. explaining that. It's been there for several years at least.
And this is in response to, during the discussion on the rate increase, I had raised the issue of how do poorer people get it without a credit card, and in fact, we do have this system in place, which it's important that we make sure the public is aware of that, especially now with the rates going up, that if somebody is searching for a job and might only be using the tollway two or three times over a two or three week period, they can go to a Jewel Osco, buy the card, and then when it's done, it's done. And they don't have to have it replenish every 90 or 60 days from the credit card. So.
I had a conversation with somebody who was having trouble doing something on her account, and I may have missed it, but she said, and I tried to find it, that when she went to these pages, the FAQs, the phone number is not visible. I know we can say contact us and you can click up there, but I just wonder if it makes sense to have a customer service phone number. I don't know, maybe it is there.
No, it's not there.
The nice thing about being involved in the tollway is everybody has a helpful comment for us.
No, but you know what's good about that? It is very frustrating when you go anymore to some place and you can't find a phone number.
Yeah.
They want you to go online or whatever.
And
so
particularly since we have the 800 number.
If there's a way we can include, that would be very helpful.
It's hard to click around to see if there is at some place, but obviously it could be just very obvious on every page.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
and I was trying.
Yeah, just at the bottom or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to make checks payable.
Right
down in below that or something. You're right where it says iPlash replenishment, Lyle and I.
We'll find a good place for it, and we'll put it in more than one so that people don't have to try to figure out the...
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Okay. Then the next slide has to do with some questions that have come up about what kind of means tested toll discounts exist. Toll discounts... is probably a little bit strong of a term to use for what we have here, which is the assist account. We have a little more than 2,000 iPass users who are on this assist program. To be on the assist program, you have to prove that you're in the Circuit Breaker program, which is a state program, or Medicaid. And it allows you to start an iPass account with less than the $50 that everybody else is using to start their iPass account. You can start it with just $20. And then instead of having to replenish your account when it hits $10, you only have to replenish it when it hits $3. So it's really built for people who probably don't use the system super frequently, and it allows them to just kind of use a more incremental amount of money for the major steps involved. And that's, again, the website. If you want to read it more closely, I would suggest going to the top of the screen where you see, I think it's probably 79%. You can just increase that to like 95%. Or just go on the website. And or go on the website, yeah. But this is what exists currently, and obviously we have future plans that we need to blow it up.
Well, yeah, Director Kahneman raised that question last month, and we talked earlier in the week, and hopefully within the next 60 days or so, we will at least examine what other agencies do, and if there's something that can be done to soften the impact on people who would fall in the lower economic category so that they could use the tollway. And we don't know that there's an answer, but at least we're going to survey other toll agencies. We're going to look at the CTA, RTA, and others to see if there's anything we can do. We want to make sure we don't do something that's going to create a lot of fraud, so it may be difficult, but at least we want to give the staff enough time to come in with something that's pretty good. But in the short haul, this is at least something that's out there.
Then another area of interest that has come up starts on page 7, and then there are several slides about it. And Wendy, maybe you and I should switch seats to talk about the customer education piece.
Why don't you come up
to
this table? Or
so we can talk about kind of customer education around the toll increase.
I can just call the chair.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously we had a lot of media coverage and a lot of attention when we announced the program in July, and again when it passed in August. But our sense is, I think, that we have much more work to do. People, not everybody reads the newspaper, certainly, and people may be in a position to forget.
Though we believe that they should.
Exactly. I apologize.
At least the Tribune and the Herald.
So I think our thought